It's Bobby here with Nerds That Know, and today we're talking to Lawrence McNaughton with the Doomsday series. Hi, Lawrence.
Hi, Bobby. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, we're really glad that you're here. So, love the books. I have actually not had the opportunity to read as much of them as I would have liked because new books in my family are kind of like a new kitten. They get picked up and stolen.
Oh, no.
And so they've already been read by my dad, my mom, and my sister actually has one of them right now.
Well, goodness gracious.
So.
If you're missing a book in the series, let me know, and I'll have one sent to you.
So, you know, I fought back, and I currently have book one again. So picked up where I left off, and I really love them so far.
Oh, well, thank you very much. That's great to hear. I loved writing them, so.
So when you started writing the Doomsday series, did you intend to write this as a series or just as a one-off?
Well, that's a funny story because it actually started out as a short story. I was actually working on a totally different book that just really was working out for me. And I took one of the minor characters who was a shopkeeper. She ran a crystal shop in Denver and sold crystals and charms and potions to the real sorcerers, you know, the powerful characters. But she was a really interesting minor character. Her name was Drew. And I decided to write a short story about her. And as I was writing this short story, I did something that I've never done before. I took the story to my critique group while I was writing it. In the past, I had always written an entire book and finished it and polished it up and then brought it to the critique group. And this was the first time that I actually brought something that I was working on. And they really liked it. And they started asking questions of what about this and what about that. And I started bringing in other characters from other stories that I had written. And it started to grow and into a novella and then eventually into a novel and then eventually into a whole series. So it was a lot of fun to do it that way because that's brand new for me. And today I will get emails from readers or they'll reach out to me on social media and they'll ask questions, you know, what about Hellbringer and what about Grayson and what about this? And, you know, it to me, having a back and forth dialogue with fans is a whole lot of fun and it helps inform the series.
Well, I have the first four books myself. And like I said, so far I'm really enjoying them. But what I think is really great is, like I said, my dad, my mom, and my sister have all stolen them from me because, you know, reading is just part of our family dynamic. And they all read very, very different things than I do. You know, we all have very different tastes in books, but everybody has really enjoyed these so far. You know, like my dad normally reads like historical fiction, does not get into the fantasy novels at all. You know, the last time he even read anything about magic was when we forced him to read the Harry Potter books while we were growing up. But he has read the first two.
Oh, great. Well, you know, what's interesting is I've heard from a lot of people who say, I don't read urban fantasy, but I read your books and I really like them. And I think it's because there's so many different things that go into the books. You know, there's not just magic and monsters, but there's muscle cars, there's mystery, there's weird Colorado history. You know, every book there's some abandoned place in Colorado. There's an old nuclear bunker in one of them, and there's a ghost town in another one. You know, all these things go into it that aren't necessarily what you would ever see in a regular urban fantasy book.
No, I know, you know, living in Denver, you know, I'm loving just like the little comments like, well, at least I'm not on East Colfax. And, you know, it's just living in Denver makes me really find those kinds of comments hilarious. It makes me wonder, you know, how many people who aren't from Colorado and you know, who aren't familiar, if they really get all of those little snide little little inside bits that you're putting into your books.
I love to drop little Easter eggs in there. You know, there's, I mentioned real live local businesses, you know, Duffy Roll is a cinnamon roll, bakery here in Denver. And they're all throughout the first book. And I love to put in these little references. In fact, in every book, there's also a Ghostbusters reference. There's either a line or something that happened, from the original Ghostbusters movie in one of those books. You know, so I put in all these little things, and every once in a while, somebody will contact me and say, that was, it took me a while to get that. That was pretty sharp. And, it's, to me, it's just fun because then it adds just an extra little dimension into it.
Well, that's fantastic. Now I'm going to have to keep my eyes out for those because I love when various authors or movies or whatnot make all of those little nerd references. It was one of my favorite things about when Castle was still on, when he would make all of the comments going back towards Firefly. And I love those little things where, like, if you know the history, it's really funny. And if you don't, it's still amusing.
Right. And it might make you go look something up. We live in the age of Google now where everybody has a phone in their pocket with internet, and you can look something up and discover something new. In fact, that's something that was happening to me constantly in every single book in this series. I would find out these weird little facts and then I would put them in there. Like, for example, the main character, Drew Jasper, her power is that she can activate crystals. And so all of the, and get magic powers out of them. All of the crystals in the books are real life crystals. And I researched, the metaphysical beliefs behind them and then elevated them up to, a higher level, a superpowered level, to create her powers. And so I kept finding all these bizarre things, like, for example, ancient Egyptian eye makeup, they invented the whole, Eye of Horus look with the heavy eyeliner.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that eyeliner that they used is actually made of ground up galena crystal, which they believed would protect them against the evil eye. And it turns out that in real life, galena is a lead sulfide, which kills bacteria.
Yeah.
So it really would protect them against the evil eye. Now, I'm not advocating that you actually go out there and paint lead sulfide on your eyelids because, it's not the best for your health. But, there's so many weird science things that I was able to work into the book series because of that. And I think it made it really interesting. Like, for example, in the first book, you said you finished the first book, It Happened One Doomsday?
Yes.
There was a biotite crystal that features prominently in the big final battle. The biotite crystal, and there were a lot of references in the book to the city of Pompeii, which was destroyed in the first century AD, that ancient Roman city destroyed by a volcano. Well, in real life, that volcano is full of biotite crystals. And it's just, it naturally occurring as part of the volcanic process, but it was neat to be able to include biotite as a magical crystal with a reference to Pompeii, which, by the way, continues all the way through book 4.
Oh, wow. That's really interesting. So with all of the crystals and things, especially Denver, Manitou, all around Colorado, because we have so many naturally forming crystals in such a rocky state, did you already know a lot about various rocks, crystals, and minerals, or was this like crazy amounts of research?
A little bit of both. My wife collects crystals, and she loves them. And when I sat down to write this series, I knew that I wanted to put a magic system in there, but I wanted to do magic in a way that I had never read before in any other books. And so it occurred to me, well, maybe I could do magic based on crystals. And I thought, how many different crystals are there? Like 12, I had no idea. I was thinking, well, there's galena, there's quartz, and, some other ones. Turns out that there are literally thousands and thousands of different crystals in this world. So in every book, I ended up researching crystals and going out to rock shops and lapidaries and finding crystals, and it was a lot of fun. It was a really eye-opening experience, and now I have a huge collection of pretty rocks in my office. And what I'll do when I do a book signing is I will bring some of these rocks, and I'll do a little talk about them. I'll talk about how you can have hematite naturally occurring, and you can have a magnetized one which will stick to steel, or you can have certain crystals are fiber optic. There's a crystal that Drew uses in the book to see invisible objects, and in real life that crystal is fiber optic. If you put it down on a sheet of paper, it will display everything that's on that page up at the top of the crystal, like a magnifying glass. There's all these weird effects out there, and it was really fun to research them.
Wow. Okay, so now you have a room full of rocks at your house, mm-hmm. right? Because that's where Drew is pulling all of her powers and things from. Mm-hmm. What comes next for her and, for this series? How many more books are on the horizon?
Well, I'm sworn to secrecy, but all I can say is we're not done yet. So there's plenty more goodness coming out. There's a short story that you can get for free on my website. It's called Magic Carpet Ride. That one you can get for free just by signing up to my author newsletter. And then, let's see, we've got Put a Spell on You as a novella that's available on Amazon, and I think some other online ebook platforms. And then I've got another one that hasn't even come out yet called, I think it's called Who's That Ghoul? But don't quote me on that because I haven't published it yet. But there's all sorts of really neat things in the series. Like, Drew is also surrounded by these magic books. There's these ancient tomes full of, weird text, and they have, bizarre old-fashioned names. Well, all of those books are actually based on real-life old books. Years ago, I used to work in an antiquarian bookstore, and we would have books that were literally centuries old. And they were fascinating to look at because they're actual, artifacts, historical artifacts. And the strangest thing was, in the back of the store, we had this giant cardboard box full of these musty old unbound manuscripts. They didn't have a leather cover on them. It was just stacks of pages, stitched together. And one day I took them out and I was flipping through them. And I said to the owner of the bookshop, how much are these worth? What are these? He says, they're not worth anything. And I was just flabbergasted. I said, how can these not be worth something? Because some of these are literally handwritten in Latin. And he says, nobody knows what they are, and they're not worth anything. There's all sorts of, ancient books like this just lying around. And that idea just lodged in my brain, and I thought, I've got to use that in a book someday. And, of course, years later, in the Drew Jasper series, she has a shop full of all these books. So one of the things that I do while I'm writing one of these stories is I'll go back and research actual manuscripts and find, names and the things that they talked about, and then I'll change them slightly and then put them in the book.
So does that mean, in addition to all of the crazy amounts of rocks that you have in your house, you also have crazy amounts of manuscripts and old books?
I have to draw the line somewhere. I have some old books, but there's...
Did you draw that line, or did your wife draw that line?
Well, it was kind of a joint decision. We make a good team. Because actually, she reads everything that I write before it even goes to my agent or the editor, and she chimes in with suggestions. And so every time I write a book, I actually write it for her. And it's a wonderful process because sometimes, let me give you an example. When I was writing, it happened one Doomsday, I got to the very end of the manuscript, and she'd been reading it chapter by chapter as we went along. And I finished the book, I was so excited. And I called her up and I said, you'll never guess what happens in the last chapter. And she said, I'm thinking this happens and then that happens. And this other thing happens. And I thought about it. I said, wow, that is way better than what I came up with. So I actually literally went back and changed the ending. And that led to the book selling and a multi-book deal. And that's how it became a series.
Well, so, then, yeah, that's fantastic.
Yeah, it's great to have. I think it's very important for any writer out there to have someone that you trust that can read your stuff as you're writing it, because it can really elevate it to a higher level.
Now, does she write any of her own stuff?
Oh, no, she's an artist. So there's no writerly competition here. She paints paintings. They're beautiful, abstract paintings. But, you know, I tell her that she missed her calling as an editor.
Well, obviously not, because she's helping you with yours.
Exactly.
But it sounds like a very creative household.
Oh yeah, so I've got my I've got my office, and then she's got her studio. And I'll tell you what, we'll use sort of the buddy system where I'll go into my office, she goes into her studio, and we'll work for 20 minutes, 30 minutes, an hour, and it just encourages us to keep working, because I'll say, well, as long as she's working, I'm going to keep working, and which is important. Because, you know, back when we started this, I wasn't a full-time writer. I had a day job. And, you know, you work the whole day job. You've got the long commute. You go home. The last thing you want to do is more work, even if it's creative work like writing a book. But having someone that you can team up with and you know, work at the same time, I think is really important. And, you know, I have friends who will do that online. You know, they'll email each other or send a text message and say, you know, I'm starting work now. You know, I'm going to work for 30 minutes. You know, and they'll keep in touch that way. And doing that, I think, helps people be really productive.
So the fantasy, you know, urban books that, you know, the Doomsday series are, obviously you're very good at that. What other kinds of books, you know, have you published? I haven't had a chance to look over your full bio and everything, but because I've really just been sucked into the Doomsday books and fighting my family members off for them.
Well, that's good to hear. You know, everything that I write has something supernatural in it. The other books that I have out, I have a thriller called Conspiracy of Angels. That was my first published book, and that is also set here in Denver, but it's more of an action-packed thriller, and it's got a creature in it and a bunch of shady characters. And then I have another one called The Spider Thief, which is set in the Colorado Rockies, and it's about a con artist who wakes up with amnesia, and he's got a cursed gold spider. He has to figure out how to break the curse before it kills him. So, you know, everything that I do has some sort of supernatural element in it. And I'm dying to tell you about a book that I just finished I can't say anything about it yet because I'm sworn to secrecy, but it's another supernatural book.
As soon as you're allowed and the veil has been lifted, let us know and we'll have to chat again.
Yeah, that sounds great.
Well, will you tell everybody where they can find your books?
Sure. Pretty much anywhere. I think the best thing to do is just go to my website. That's lawrencemacnaughton.com. And I'll spell it out because it's really long. It's LaurenceMacNaughton.com. And I have links on there to all the books. I've got some bonus materials on there, too. If you go to the Drew Jasper series, there's pictures of all the characters. There's little quotes from them. There's a whole bunch of fun stuff.
Does your wife help draw those pictures of the characters?
Oh, no. I went out and found stock photos of, like actors and models. And that's actually something that I do before I sit down to write a book, is I have to find a picture of someone so that I can visualize them.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah. So somewhere out there, there's somebody who has the face of Drew. Somebody else has the face of Grayson. You know, that sort of thing. Even the car is based on a real car. Hellbringer is based on an actual 1969 Dodge Charger Daytona. built by a guy who calls himself Mr. Angry. I can't make this stuff up. It's the scariest looking car out there. So I have a photo of that, and I think I have a link to a video of that car doing burnouts in a parking lot.
Fantastic. Well, we will include links to your website, so that way anybody who's interested can go out and get these books. I highly recommend them. And if you're going to get these books, please hide them from your family, because otherwise it will take you much longer to read them than it would normally, because they will steal them from you. Trust me, I know. I normally burn through about 5 or 6 books in a week. And wow. It took me almost a month to read the first book because it was swiped from me by 3 different members of my family.
Wow. Well, I'll tell you what I'd like to do. The first person who contacts me and tells me that they heard your podcast on Nerds That Know, I'll send them a free book.
Fantastic. Autographed. Ooh, autographed even.
Autographed.
Okay, so first person that contacts Lawrence with the phrase saying, "Heard you on Nerds That Know," will get an autographed copy of one of the Doomsday books.
You got it.
So you can either reach out to him via his website, or you can also contact us through Nerds That Know Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, and we will pass the message along. So make sure you get these books, because like I said, they're fantastic and get stolen very easily.
I can't be responsible for that.
I blame you entirely. If you couldn't write well, then my books wouldn't have been swiped. So, you know, just stop being good at this, and then my things won't get taken.
All right, I'll do my best.
No, keep doing what you're doing, because like I said, they're fantastic. All right, well, thank you so much for your time, Lawrence.
And thanks for having me on.
When is your next book signing?
You know, I don't have anything on the schedule right now, but check my website, because I'm trying to do more conventions, more conferences. I just want to get out there more and meet people and share books and have a good time.
All right. Well, we will keep you posted as to when you can meet him again and see some of that giant rock collection. All right. Thanks, everyone. Again, this is Bobby with Nerds That Know, and now you know more about Doomsday. All right.